Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Coming to you live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios, you are listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Thursday, May the 24th, and do we have a great show for you today, as we will be joined by Miami Dolphins wide receiver Albert Wilson, as well as the Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley. Two interviews, one show. It's a great show. And two great guests, and I've been talking about on this podcast for the past few weeks, sort of been teasing some ideas that we got some big things happening here at our website, some big surprises coming your way, and this is one of them. I've been working on it for a few weeks now. Albert Wilson was able to give us a few moments of his time today to talk about signing with the Dolphins, what it's like being in Miami, who's the fastest wide receiver in Miami. We talk about that. We get his thoughts on Ryan Tannehill, head coach Adam Gase, and a bunch of other things, so it was great to talk with him. And also, I was joined by Antoine Staley, who we have on all the time, and I can announce he will be a regular weekly spot with us come this August once we get to training camp. So Antoine Staley will be on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast once a week as we get to training camp and into the 2018 season. Antoine does great work at the USA Today covering the Miami Dolphins. So there's a little announcement there. That's another surprise. And we got more surprises on the way coming. I can't share them all now because some of these things take time. And they do. There's a lot of back and forth trying to set things up. But I might even have another announcement this weekend. I can't say that. I can't say what it is. But there might be another surprise / announcement coming this weekend. So be on the lookout for that. Once I'm ready and once I've sort of worked out all the details with the other party, we will make that announcement at the website, DolphinsTalk.com. As you know, our website the past year and a half, has grown so quick and gotten so big. Like I said, just the first 3 months of this year, I've said this on the podcast before, we went over 500,000 listens and downloads. We've been on with SiriusXM Satellite Radio a few times as guests and stuff like that for segments with them. And we take great pride in our interviews here at the website. Once we started this podcast specifically, one of the goals was to bring you the guests that matter. And you want to hear from people who are informed, whether they be media types or former players or some players who are on the team at this time. And we've done that. I could run down a laundry list of people we've had on the podcast. I'll just name a few. Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas, Phil Simms from CBS, who was amazing. He gave us like 45 minutes and talked nothing but Miami Dolphins football. One of our greatest guests ever, who we will have on again as well. Sam Madison, Troy Stafford, OJ McDuffie, Randy McMichael. I just had on a week or two ago. He's been on with us a few times. Jay Fiedler, Tim Robbie. So we'd love to bring you the guests that matter and the people you want to hear from. And we had the opportunity and we had the connection to get Albert Wilson. So Albert Wilson today, we'll get to him shortly, but great spot, and I think everyone will enjoy that interview. And of course, as always, the great Antoine Staley. I'll do that interview after the chat with Albert. So, but first, let's talk about some news, as there's a little bit happening with the Miami Dolphins. As we spoke about the other day, this is the season for OTAs. It was the first Miami Dolphins OTAs this week. And look, as I said on Monday, with the OTAs, you're not going to get a ton of information. It's guys in shorts running around on the field. There's no hitting, no contact, and all that stuff. So you got to take any information you get from the OTAs with a grain of salt. But there were some things that were newsworthy. First and foremost, Ryan Tannehill, for at least the OTAs, he wasn't wearing a knee brace, which I know some people, you know, were like, oh my God, he's not wearing a knee brace. But when he met with the media on Wednesday, he did say for games he will be wearing a knee brace. So nothing's really changed there. Not that that's even huge news, but it is something worth mentioning, because I know there's a lot of people online, fans of the team, like, he's not wearing a knee brace. Oh my God. Well, for games, he will be wearing them in 2018. What else? I mean, there's really not much to take from these OTA sessions. I have a bunch of notes here, but it's like, I don't know. There's really not much to take from it. And plus, I will talk with Antoine Staley later on in the podcast. He was there, and he can give us a firsthand account of what he saw with his eyes as someone who was on site. So there's that. Also, I want to announce that coming up shortly is the 22nd annual Finns Weekend, June 1st and 2nd. And it's a great weekend where there's a bunch of events with the Miami Dolphins. As the Miami Dolphins Foundation hosts a weekend of golf and fishing with the players, with the cheerleaders, with the coaching, with the alumni and the former players. And all the proceeds from this Finns Weekend provide, they take all the money and they provide scholarships and mentoring to improve the graduation rates for South Florida kids. And as a fan, you can participate. There's an event on Saturday night, June 2nd, where you can purchase a ticket. And there's a tent outside Miami Marine Stadium. And they got music. They got food vendors. And there's a bunch of players and the coaches. And everybody's there. And they have a silent auction and a live auction. And like I said, all the proceeds go to a great cause to help raise to provide scholarships and mentoring to improve the graduation rates for South Florida kids. If you're interested in purchasing a ticket, go to the website, and I'll have this up on the site right under the podcast. Go to the website, www.finsweekend.com. Again, www.finsweekend.com. If you got some time on June 2nd, I recommend everyone go buy a ticket. Donate some money to a great cause, and you'll be around, you know, players and public coaches and stuff, and it's a great event. And up on the website, there's a ton of pictures from the event, and you can get sort of a feel of what it's like. So everyone, go to the website, www.finsweekend.com, and check that out. So I'm going to keep this short on my end right now, because I know everyone's just waiting to hear from Albert Wilson, wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, and of course, Antoine Staley, Miami Dolphins reporter from USA Today. So we'll take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, we will get to my interview with Miami Dolphins wide receiver Albert Wilson.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida, and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in the South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the hotline is Miami Dolphins wide receiver Albert Wilson. How are you doing today, Albert?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Love having you on. And you're from the South Florida region, and that's where you played your high school ball. So what's it like now to sort of return to South Florida and be a member of the Miami Dolphins?
Man, it's an honor. It's a blessing. I'm very grateful for this opportunity and looking forward to everything that comes with it.
Yep, absolutely. Now, I have to ask, when you were a child, were you a fan of the Miami Dolphins?
I wouldn't necessarily say a fan, but I definitely watched a lot of Dolphins football. And, you know, I grew up playing running back and, you know, like backs like Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams, it was just great watching those guys and just trying to mock them growing up. So I definitely was a fan of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you were a free agent this offseason, was it a priority or was it on your list to maybe return to one of the teams in Florida, whether it be Miami, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, or was that something sort of not on your radar and this just sort of all happened and it just worked out great? Was that something on your radar to maybe return to one of the teams in Florida?
Well, when free agency first hit, you know my offseason course, so that was something that I had in mind, and you know, just going and try to start something great with him. But you know, when I heard Miami was interested in me and the opportunity I had with you know, Jarvis leaving and you know, being able to play in front of my friends and family, you know, every Sunday or most of the Sundays, it was just the opportunity I couldn't let go.
Yeah, absolutely. Now in college, I believe you started off your career there playing in the secondary, then you switched over to wide receiver. Well, how did that happen? And is that something that you think helps you now as a wide receiver in the pros, that you used to have that mindset of somebody in the secondary, so you know what they're thinking? How did that switch happen? Was that your idea, or was that just something that happened when you were in college?
Yeah, coming out of high school, I actually signed to Georgia State to play defensive back. But before I got there, actually that summer, they switched me over to wide receiver. And from my understanding, it was just, you know, they was a new program. They haven't played a game yet. And I think once they got into the meeting room, they realized how much speed they had on the defense side of the ball. And I pretty much was probably the best choice of moving them over to the offensive side of the ball. And I can say it definitely worked out pretty good for me.
Absolutely. It has worked out for you very well. Now, I know this week you had the first OTA sessions in Miami. What were your thoughts out there, and what's it like working with Ryan Tannehill now as your new quarterback in Miami?
Oh, man, I'm loving everything he's showing me. He's a great leader, and he definitely knows what this team needs to take the next step. And I feel like he's done everything he needed to do in the offseason to prepare him for this time. And I'm very excited from what I see to have go on this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there was some talk yesterday when you were speaking with the media about who's the fastest wide receiver on this team, who's the fastest player on this team. Now, look, we all know you're the fastest. That goes without saying. So out of the rest of the guys, who's number two? Is it Jakeem Grant? Is it Drake? Who's number two? Because we all know you're the fastest, so.
Oh man, it's a lot of speed. One thing it is that we're definitely gonna stretch the room. I mean, stretch the field and give a lot of defenses a lot to cover. So, Jakeem, that man's blazing. I'm not gonna lie, the kid is fast. Kenny himself is fast. We got a lot of speed and I think the way coach is setting things up, a lot of people is gonna see how fast we really are.
Absolutely. There's a lot of speed there with the wide receivers. Then you throw in someone at running back like Kenyon Drake, who they used in the slot a little bit last year, which I think we'll see a lot more this year because he's a matchup nightmare for linebackers. Yeah, so I think there's going to be a lot of speed on the field, and it's going to be very exciting to watch for fans of the team. Head coach-wise, you worked with Andy Reid with the Chiefs. Now you're with head coach Adam Gase. Are they similar in a lot of ways from the time you've spent so far with Gase? Are they – because they're both offensive-minded coaches, obviously. Are they very similar, not so much? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I feel like they definitely have their ways where they're similar. You know, they definitely brought in a lot of speed. They're definitely people that want to get a mismatch on guys they know can make a play with the ball. So I definitely see the similarities in both of the coaches. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I know as a wide receiver, you can play both in the slot and on the outside. Do you prefer one or the other? Is that something that's a little overblown by fans? Is it that much of a transition to play one or the other? Or do you enjoy just like the slot more maybe, or on the outside more?
I love playing the outside, but I definitely enjoy playing the inside with, you know, just the matchup you're getting. So, For me, it really doesn't matter whether I'm inside or outside. But, you know, with Coach, he the way his offense runs, you know, you pretty much line up everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I know you have a foundation called the Albert Wilson Foundation, which does a lot of great work. I know just a few weeks back you had your youth camp down in Port St. Lucie. Can you tell me a little bit about that and what kind of work the Albert Wilson Foundation does?
The Albert Wilson Foundation first is building to get scholarships to foster kids out of state, the out-of-state scholarships, because the Florida Department itself offers in-state scholarships for public schools. So I feel like a guy like me that went to a school out of state who pretty much found himself and got his opportunity out of state was a great chance for me. So I'm definitely trying to get people outside of the state if it's a bigger opportunity for them.
Absolutely. And anything we can do here at our website to help spread the word, just let us know, because I did some research on it and it looks great. It looks amazing. And you did. And you guys over there are doing great work. And your whole story is really an inspiration just from how you were raised and your childhood to make it to where you've made it. It really is an inspiring story. And you really should. I mean, it's a great story, which I think people should hear more of. Talk a little bit about that, because you were a foster child, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so what's that like? Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was, you know, when you're going through it, you definitely, you know, I didn't take it as a disadvantage or any type of way. I just kind of felt like, you know, that was the cards that was dealt to me, you know. But I always had a great relationship with my parents. It was just so happened they got in a little bit of trouble to where, you know, they had to go away for a bit of time. And I was, you know, I had to go into the foster care system. But, you know, I just made it what it was. I had a goal and a vision, you know, and that was to get in the situation to where I can take care of my sisters and take care of my family in the long run. So football was something that was definitely consistent in my life that definitely brought me a lot of things. And for me to continue to play this game, it's just an honor.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've done a great job so far. You are a great wide receiver for the Chiefs. And now hopefully in Miami, there's more great things to come. Thanks so much for a few moments of your time tonight, Albert. We're all going to be watching this year, rooting you on, and we'll talk to you again down the road for sure.
For sure. Fins up.
Okay. Thank you.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Antoine Staley, Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So we haven't had you on since the draft. So I want to get your thoughts on the draft first. What were your thoughts overall on the Miami Dolphins draft? Is it a class you like? You have some questions. What are just your general thoughts on the draft overall?
I mean, obviously it's going to be questions that need to be addressed, but overall, yeah, I like the fact that the Dolphins addressed some needs that they had. They didn't necessarily like the way TJ McDonald and Rashad Jones played last year. When McDonald came back from his eighth game suspension. So they went out and got a guy, Minkah Fitzpatrick, who can play safety and probably complements Rashad Jones a little bit better, and also somebody that can also plug in the slot receiver, I mean, slot cornerback as well. So somebody that's versatile on the secondary, and that's never a bad thing. And the Dolphins like to have a lot of skilled dives at that position. So yeah. I like that pick. I also like the Mike Gesicki pick. I know a lot of people talked about his blocking, but I mean, how many receivers come into the league and they're not necessarily great blockers?
Nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that he can he can learn to be a okay blocker, but they got him for his playmaking ability. It's something that the Dolphins have not had as a tight end position in a really long time. So I like that pick. I like the Kalen Ballage pick as well. I think you're getting depth at the running back position, something that the Dolphins did not have last year. Jerome Baker is a little bit of a question with third-round pick, but I know a lot of people talk about his size, but his size is very similar to Roquan Smith, who's somebody that a lot of fans really wanted. But, yeah, they're very similar in size. Obviously, Roquan came out the more polished player, but Jerome Baker is definitely a fast guy that can cover tight ends and also running backs, and somebody that and we know the Dolphins definitely had issues with that last year, and they gave up 94 receptions to tight ends. So, yeah, Durham Smythe is also a guy you got blocking there. Didn't necessarily mind that pick. So, yeah, overall, looking at their draft, I mean, I definitely I like a lot of the things that they did. They at least tried to address finally the needs that they had, and we just have to all see if it works out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think year one, at least, I think the guys who are going to make the biggest impact will be the two tight ends, because I had on this podcast Randy McMichael, I think like a week or two back maybe, and he loves the kid from Penn State, Gesicki. He goes, I don't care if he can block anybody. He just loves the kid. He was raving about him. And I think those two tight ends, because look, we had nothing at tight end heading into that draft. I think those kids can complement each other. Obviously, one's more of a run blocker, and that's a strength, but he also has some nice hands too. And you got Gesicki, who I think is just a matchup nightmare. I think those guys, year one, are just going to be on the field a lot, and I think they are the guys who will probably get the most headlines from this class. Obviously, Fitzpatrick's a great player. He's going to be on the field a lot too. And what were your thoughts on that information that leaked a few days after the draft about the owner, Mr. Ross, sort of questioning the pick and him trying to see if that was maybe the right move? What was your thoughts on that whole story? Is that something that was overblown, or is there something to that?
I mean, it's definitely something. He wants to win. Steven Ross wants to win. He realized he's getting up there in age. He's almost 80 years old at this point. So
yeah, he is. Yeah.
He's getting to the point where he wants to win as quick as possible. So, I understand that. He wants to question the things that they do. He questioned that. He questioned why the Dolphins wanted to release the Ndamukong Suh when he gave him that money. He gave him a lot of money a few years ago.
They're question asked, too. Yeah.
Yeah, $60 million guaranteed. So yeah, he's putting so much in return in his investment. And also, I mean, he's done a lot for the Dolphins, just on the field, off the field with the stadium, investing a lot of his money. So I don't blame him. I mean, he wants the return on his investment, and he feels like he's not getting that. So he's right to question that. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, and I don't think it's overblown there either. But yeah, I'll say this, the kind of bottom line that this is going to be an interesting season for the Dolphins. They if they don't make the playoffs or they finish below 500, I expect some changes to be made. I don't know if it's going to include Adam Gase, depending on how bad things will have to go really badly, I think, in order for him to get fired. But I think if they were to go 6-10 again, I think you might see at least maybe Mike Tannenbaum get the can.
I am right there with you. I think when that report leaked, it wasn't so much that he's a hands-on owner trying to make moves. I didn't read it that way. I read it as, are you guys sure this is the guy you want to pick? And if this is wrong, I'm sort of questioning this. So hindsight ain't going to be, for me. I'm saying this ahead of time. He put his front office almost on notice, like, you guys can make this pick, but I have some questions. So if this year is bad, like you said, 5-11, 6-10, maybe even 7-9, he's going to say, guys, time for a change. I would not be shocked either. And that's what I got out of that story. And like you said, he's done so much for the Miami Dolphins. Return on his investment this week with the news leaked that Miami will be in the Super Bowl rotation. He has to be the happiest man alive because he's going to get a Super Bowl every so many years now. And I think for him, that has to be great news.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the reason he put it in the renovations in the first place, because the Dolphins, Roger Goodell kind of said, told the stadium was outdated. They needed to either get a new stadium or need to do some renovations to it. So that's what Steven Ross did. And I mean, it's going to, the Super Bowl's coming in 2020, and it's going to be so.
Every so many years.
It'll be a lot of them
now.
So much money. Yeah, it's going to be so much money coming down to Miami, and it's going to be such a big deal. So, yeah, it's going to be – I think after the Minnesota fiasco last year, and I know Minnesota, and that's a very nice stadium, but I can tell you a lot of people were not very happy.
Yeah, nobody wants to go to shopping mall.
Yeah, they had Radio Row there, and that's not even the worst part. The worst part was it was -8 degrees. Throughout the week. So, yeah, I don't think necessarily the media nor some of the NFL personnel really like that.
No, I
have a hard time believing the Super Bowl will come back there. But, yeah, I think you're going to have a nice rotation with Miami, New Orleans,
Vegas.
And then that miss Arizona. Vegas. Yeah, I was going to say Los Angeles.
Everybody's going to want that one.
Yeah, Los Angeles and Vegas are definitely going to be in the mix there. So I think it's going to kind of just rotate between those. And you may get occasional Atlanta every now and then, too,
yeah,
as well. So
I think they said
I think that's going to be the rotation.
Yeah, I think they said it's going to have four main ones. And then if a team, if they build a new stadium, they're going to throw them in every so many years. So, like, you have Atlanta, who I know just had it sort of, or they're next, I think. I'm not sure. They would be tossed in. Yeah, they're next. But if any team, if they build a new stadium, and as long as it's not up north where it's going to be snowing, they're going to throw them in, like the Vikings. Okay, they just had theirs, so they're probably all done for a long while. But if somebody else, if they build one, they're going to toss them in the mix. So this will be Ross's legacy in Miami, I think, if they don't win that. He sort of got that Hard Rock built, and they're in the rotation now. And I think, look, that's a big achievement for him, and I think – God bless them. So let's talk about some things on the field. You were at the OTAs at the open practice this week on Wednesday. How did Ryan Tannehill look on the field? How was he moving?
I mean, he looked like he was his old self. He didn't have a knee brace on. And I mean, obviously, I wasn't necessarily looking at the throws that he was making. I mean, I was a little bit, but
it's just OTAs.
Going to matter. That's not really going to matter now. They're playing in shorts and, you know, without pads. So, my biggest thing was, just seeing how he moves. He looked fluid. He looked athletic as he normally is. And he looked like his old self. I didn't see him necessarily run out the pocket too much, but I'm sure that'll come with time. They just wanted to get him out there, get him acclimated, and just get him back out there on the field. And it looked like he didn't – if I didn't know he had suffered a knee injury, I definitely would have not have known that.
That's good to hear. Now, since we last spoke as well, they also signed Bryce Petty, and between him, Fells, and Osweiler, is it your thought that that's pretty much just an open competition this summer, and somebody's going to win that job, or do you think somebody has maybe an inside track in any way? Or, I mean, look, none of those guys are really anything special. So what's your thoughts on that spot?
I mean, yes, it's going to be open competition. My guess would be, I think Bryce Osweiler has to – the leg up on it, but it's no, I mean, they like David Fells. They felt like he did a solid job the last time he played, went and played against the Bills in the finale. So they thought he did a good job there. So they're going to that's the reason they brought him back, and definitely think he could possibly win the quarterback job. I know a lot of people, they love Matt Moore for years and years, but the fact of the matter is they just felt like Moore was getting up there in age. And remember, he suffered that injury against the Patriots last November, and he did not play the rest of the season. So they just felt like they needed to move on from him, get younger at the backup quarterback position. And it's no secret. Look, the Dolphins, I mean, they're going to go as far as Ryan Tannehill takes.
So yep.
If he goes down with an injury, they're thinking the season's going to be done anyway. So they're not going to go out and spend $10 million or try to go out and do the same thing what they did with Jay Cutler. They're just going to have to eat it. And depending on when Tannehill goes down, they could be a – if he goes down early for whatever reason, they're probably looking at about a 4-win team.
Yeah, and they will be picking at the top of the draft next year, and then they can address the quarterback spot most likely then if something like that were to happen. I saw you wrote an article on your website, which everybody should check out, dolphinswire.usatoday.com, about Raekwon McMillan. What did you see from him on the field? Look, I know it's just OTAs and it's not much, but and I think today you also spoke to the media as well. What were your thoughts on him and how he came off just overall?
Well, I mean, just we spoke with him today, and I mean, he just eloquently, he was just talking about how him and Ryan Tannehill were going through the rehab process at the same time and how they enjoyed it. And Yeah, that's really the basis of it. And what I noticed on the field, and again, it's OTA, so you're not yeah, looking for people
exactly.
Are not going to make tackles or anything like that. But one thing I did notice is, just like last year when he was in training camp, he was pointing out, he was barking out assignments where players are supposed to be on the field. And remember, we're talking about a guy that has never – I mean, he just played one snap, and he ended up having that freakish injury against the Falcons last year during the preseason. So he hasn't really necessarily been on the field, but he knows exactly where everybody else is supposed to be lined up. And he's telling other players – where they're supposed to be lined up on the field. So, and plug calling our defensive play. So for somebody that's 22 years old, I think that's pretty impressive considering the fact that they did not play last year. They like what they see in him. They think he's going to have a big impact on this defense along with him and Jerome Baker. And we'll have to wait and see. I was really high on him last year. Just, unfortunately, he wasn't able to stay on the field.
Yep. And it sounds like just from reading your article that he is sort of cemented at the middle linebacker spot, and that won't change because, so he's not going to be moving to the outside. He'll be in the middle, and they will play Alonzo either the strong side or weak side, whatever they see fit there, and slide him around. But, Raekwon at the middle. Here's a question. They changed over there. They replaced a lot of their – because, well, hold on. Let me get my thoughts here. They have a new running backs coach. They have a new offensive line coach. They have a new wide receivers coach. They changed a lot of their staff over. In the OTAs, did you see them run any differently than years past, or was it pretty much business as usual, I guess?
It was kind of like just vanilla type stuff they were running.
Just vanilla. So,
So that's what I think they're doing right now, especially to get the kind of the rookies acclimated to everything. One thing I did notice is a little bit, I noticed that a little bit more coaching and stuff like that out there. I know you get new coaches in. The Dolphins, for whatever reason, Adam Gase influxed a whole bunch of new position coaches this year.
Yeah.
You're gonna have coaches that want to work on your technique because they've learned different things than the players have been accustomed to the last few years. At defensive back, at run, they have a new running back coach, they have a new defensive line coach, and a new offensive line coach. I mean, it's just a ton of new coaches there, that's not really necessarily normal. Typical for a team to go through that many changes throughout the course of an offseason. So you just notice them working on a little bit more technique type things and trying to get them used to the way they've been accustomed to learn things in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks so much for a few moments of your time tonight. Antoine, everyone, check out Antoine Staley at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com and follow him on Twitter at Antoine Staley. Thanks so much tonight, Antoine, and we'll have you on again down the road for sure.
All right, man. That sounds good.
All right. You have a good one.
All right. You take care.
Meet current Miami Dolphins running back Frank Gore at Sinbad Sports on Thursday, May 31st at 7 p.m. for a special autograph signing. The former Miami Hurricane and current Miami Dolphins running back will be appearing for a special VIP autograph signing where you can get a picture with and your memorabilia signed by the future Hall of Fame running back. Check out Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida, and tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
All right, we're back, and once again, I would like to thank new Miami Dolphins wide receiver Albert Wilson for joining me tonight on the podcast. It was a great interview, and we'll have him on again down the road for sure. And also like to thank Antoine Staley from the USA Today, Miami Dolphins reporter for the USA Today, for joining me tonight and giving me a few minutes of his time. Like I said at the top of the show, Antoine is going to be a weekly guest for us once we get closer to the season, come August and stuff, when training camps full steam ahead, we will have him on the podcast once a week as a weekly spot. So looking forward to that as well. We'll have a new show out. Probably we'll do a show this weekend. Not sure exactly what day it's going to drop. Like I said at the top of the show, we are working on many things here behind the scenes that I can't announce right now. but there's many new features, many new things that are going to be coming to this podcast and our website, DolphinsTalk.com, in the coming weeks and months. I might be able to announce one more of those things this weekend. I'm not sure. I'm working on finalizing some of the details. So if I can, I will announce this weekend. If not, we're going to have to wait a little longer. But like I said, our website has grown so much in the past year and a half. And I do want to thank each and every one of you who listen to this podcast, who visit our website, and who interact with me on Twitter and such. You guys are the best fans in the world. I really can't say that enough. And because you guys are the best fans in the world and have blown our podcast up, it does, you know, help us get people to come on the podcast as guests and such like that. So I do want to thank all of you for listening to this podcast and visiting our website. I probably don't say that enough. I could say it for every show, but I know people would get sick of hearing it every show as you just watch your news and rumors and thoughts on the Miami Dolphins. But thank you for everyone who does listen. And like I said, there's more big things to come with DolphinsTalk.com in the weeks and months to come. I mean, there is so much to come, and we have so much in the works. I can't even begin to let you know what it is, but just stay tuned because it's going to be stuff that I know you will all like and enjoy. So I guess now let's do some plugs. Everyone, be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk, at DolphinsTalk. And if you're not on Twitter, feel free to send me an email. Like I always say, many of you listeners have heard us or heard about us on Sirius XM Radio, 560 WQAM in Miami, 790 tickets. So if you heard from us that way and you're not on social media and you want to send me an email with an idea, or if you have a question, you can send me an email at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. You can always reach me that way, and I will respond to every email. I promise you that. Also, be sure to follow the follow the websites that re-air this podcast. Sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied. They are FinnFanatic.com, FinnFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, and Dolphin-UK.com, as well as, like I said, follow Antoine Staley on Twitter at Antoine Staley and his website, DolphinsWire.USAToday.com. And also be sure to follow the Facebook pages, Fanatics, Doll Fanatics, and the Miami Dolphins End Zone, as well as they also re-air this podcast there. So that's all I have for today. I would like to thank everyone once again for listening, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.